Daddy, what are you doing?
We're recording a podcast.
Who's listening?
Islander fans are listening.
Where are they?
Well, they're right here.
Welcome to the Isles Faithful Podcast with your host, Michael Schoerlein.
Hello, and welcome back to the Isles Faithful Podcast. I am your host, Michael Schoerlein, as always, and this is episode number 35. Today is Sunday, May 5th, Cinco de Mayo. Normally, we would be celebrating on this glorious taco day or Mexican fiesta day, but today, we're a little sad. At least I'm a little sad. I'm sure most of you guys out there in Islanders Nation, the Isles Faithful Nation, are also a little sad because we're obviously still reeling from being swept by the Carolina Hurricanes. Who knew at the beginning of the playoffs that the New York Islanders would sweep the Pittsburgh Penguins and then ultimately face the buzzsaw of Carolina? But here we were. We went through a 10-day stretch, or we, like I always make that mistake, they, as in the New York Islanders and company, would go through a 10-day stretch of inactivity, some practices and everything, which we've spoken about. And Carolina went 7 games with Washington, only had a couple of days rest. We obviously know where that went, and we'll get into that in a little while as well. But came off that sweep. Islanders looked good in games 1 and 2, didn't really look so great in games 3 and 4. What could have been, but what's not? And again, we'll get into that in a little bit. I want to start off this episode. I have a lot of stuff written down here. I don't want to be accused of not preparing things all that much. And I don't have a lot of statistical information here because it's not really what this episode is going to be about. I just wanted to get a few key points down, get some discussion going. We'll talk a little bit on Twitter. Maybe we'll fire up the Discord channel again to get some of you guys involved in that way too here. I know there's a lot of people who want to say a lot of things. And if you follow along on Twitter, it's just been insane. I know Isles Reddit has also been insane. Some of the boards like Islander Mania and HF boards, just lots of awesome discussion. We'll touch on some of those things. And then maybe we'll have a two-part thing here once breakup day happens tomorrow. So first things first, congratulations go out to Brendan Burke for being nominated for Best Sports Play-by-Play. Some others that were in that group were Mike Breen of MSG Networks, Ian Eagle of Yes Networks, Michael Kay. Who's that guy, Michael Kay? I have no idea who he is, right? Jeez. Also, obviously, of Yes Networks, and Ryan Ruoco of Yes Networks as well. So congratulations to all those guys. I don't know who ultimately won. I'm sure we'll see some of that here in the next day or so. But again, congratulations to Brendan Burke. Thank you for doing everything that you do. You are a godsend to the New York Islanders fan base and MSG Networks. You're so good at what you do. And I told you earlier this year via Twitter that you had big shoes to fill once you came in filling in for Howie Rose or replacing Howie Rose, and you've outgrown them already, as evident by all of the games that you've been asked to call for NBC and some of the other networks across the nation here in on the national stage. So it's good to see you get the recognition you deserve. We love you as Islander fans, obviously, and can't wait to hear you call a game soon. Another little thing I wanted to talk about is Jack Foley, and you know him as Super Jack. I had his mom and Jack on a couple episodes ago, Jack Foley. And they are going to be in a walk for the Children's Heart Foundation. It's known as the Congenital Heart Walk. It's sometime this month in May here, I think towards the end of the month. And they're raising some money for their team. So their current total is up at $325. If you can go and you could donate, that would be great. I set up a little short link, obviously, so that if you're listening to this, it's easy to just pop it in your phone. It'll also be in the show notes. I'll throw it up on Twitter as well. But if you want to donate to the cause, you can go to bit.ly/superjack. That's bit.ly/superjack. So head over there, donate if you can. Let's get them to their goal. I believe it's $1,200, $1,300, something like that. So let's surpass that goal. Jack's a super kid. Obviously, if you don't know at this point, he's the little boy who had to sign for Robin Leonard at the Toronto game, the last game of the season at the Coliseum. Got to meet Robin Leonard, got to meet Thomas Greiss, some of the other players. Wound up leaving there with two goalie sticks autographed and a bunch of other things as well. So good to see that. I met up with him a couple of times during the playoffs, and his awesome mom, Lauren. Miss you guys. Can't wait to see you again soon. I know he's got some really fun things going this summer for him with the Matt Martin camp and everything like that. So where are we right now? We've got a lot of things that are going to have to be dealt with this summer. We obviously, at this point, didn't know the season would turn out this way. When I first started the podcast over the summer last year, I didn't even know the podcast would get the popularity that it has. So I wanted to thank you guys, the loyal listeners, for just keeping me active on Twitter and forcing me to write a little bit here and there and obviously getting my thoughts out there. I never would have thought that my thoughts here would be listened to in the way that what you guys have done. And last episode or two episodes ago, and I hate the last episode that I put out. I should have never done it. Sounded terrible compared to what you're listening to right now. But we surpassed 10,000 downloads, which is mind-blowing to me. We're averaging more than I even would like to admit per episode here, the last 10 or 15. We have a couple that are over 500 an episode, and I know that's small in comparison to some of the other podcasts. I'm sure that Carver over at the aisle seat probably shatters that, but it is what it is. I'm just a little guy over here. But we're since have almost 12,000 in those two small episodes, so thank you so much. I have some big things in store for the Isles Faithful podcast here over the summer and into the future. And you never know, maybe some more guests and everything like that. I know Mark said he wanted to come back for episode 37, maybe get some of his other alumni involved there too. It'd be a really cool thing to get some history and former players to talk about what they loved about that team in 02-03, like Mark has done the last couple that he's been on. So look out for that. But here we are. We got some key unrestricted free agents that Lou Lamoriello is going to have to deal with, obviously with the input of his awesome coaching staff. Barry Trotz, thank you so much for just really killing it this year. The going from the worst goals against to the best, the defensive system that you installed, I cannot thank you enough as a fan. This was a fun season. It didn't end the way that we all wanted, but I am more than happy with the result. I mean, obviously, I wouldn't have liked to have been swept here this second round. But for this management group to equal what the last took 10 years to accomplish in one season, not even a full calendar year, like 9 months. I mean, Lamoriello was obviously hired and Barry Trotz was hired probably a calendar year ago at this point, because at this point of the year, we were still reeling from that crazy press conference where Garth Snow and Doug Waite were sitting there dumbfounded with this crazy look on their face. And I wrote about this and I was so pissed off at the time. I'm still kind of agitated about that, but I mean, we have happier things to think about right now. Again, not either here nor there, but to see the difference from then until now is mind-blowing to me. I love it. This everything about this season, I just love. Obviously, we could have had a score or two added here at the deadline, but I'm not going to nitpick, right? Because why are we going to nitpick? There's no reason to. You have some key unrestricted free agents. And again, I keep getting sidetracked with this. As much as I write stuff down, like the stream of consciousness sometimes that comes out, which is probably why some of you listen, because I'm all over the place. But as any typical sports guy, any typical Islander fan or New Yorker even, right? Because I'm sure that my New York accent comes out from time to time. We get sidetracked. So we have Lee. Obviously, he's probably going to be one of the ones that is going to get a contract here, if not in the next week or so, definitely before the deadline. And we're kind of fast approaching the summer here. It's almost through the first week of May already. May, we just finished playing hockey in May. Wow. Anyway, Lee, Eberle. I don't know if they're going to sign Eberle. I liked what he did in the first round. I liked what he did for extended periods. Obviously, last season, not so much this year. I know he dealt with some personal stuff. Then we got Brock Nelson, the October guy, Brocktober. We made the joke of he was Brockvember and all these other month kind of names here, and he had a great first round as well. He had a terrible couple of first games in the second round, really stepped it up in the coming games, and had that little head pat of McElhaney, which was kind of hysterical. Dougie Hamilton definitely got payback to him in the handshake line. Might not have agreed with the time to do it there 100%, but look, top-notch troll job by him and the Carolina Hurricanes as well on Twitter. And then obviously the biggest UFA for me, Robin Lehner. Brian Compton was on NHL Network radio today on Sirius, and you know, he talked about Robin Lehner and how he has a lot to think about. It was also on his NHL.com article today as well, if you didn't read that. Seems like he's got a lot of stuff he wants to work on in the offseason here. It's still very fresh in his mind. Nobody really wanted it to end the way that it did. So he's going to have a lot to think about. Hopefully he winds up signing here on Long Island. I know there's some question marks in goal there as well. We have Thomas Greiss with 1 year left on his deal. The White Whale, as Carver likes to refer to him, Ilya Sorokin, won the Gagarin Cup over in Russia. He's got 1 year left on his Russian deal. He could potentially buy himself out and come over to North America. That is obviously the biggest unknown. We don't even know if his play style and success is going to transfer over to the North American game. My line of thinking is, you know what, you have him as an asset. I'm not necessarily saying that we should trade him as in Sorokin. I mean, you know what you have in Robin Lehner and Thomas Greiss. And I believe that Robin Lehner, for all his accolades this season now at this point, he's nominated as a finalist for the Vezina. He's a finalist for the Masterton Trophy. Him and Thomas Greiss shared the Jennings Trophy. He needs a reward for all his work this year. And again, I know there's this weird buzzword, sustainability, and all these other crazy analytical things that have been going against the Islanders and their goaltending all season long. But you know what? He has earned a deal here. He loves it here. He loves the team. He has the support. Why would you not reward him? So that is a very big story that we're going to be watching here moving forward. Then you have some of the lesser names. Tommy Kuhnhackl is an unrestricted free agent. Valtteri Filppula. I'm not against bringing Filppula back for the right deal. Maybe another one-year deal. Not really sure. He had a really, really good year. He was way more valuable than we ever could have imagined. You could kind of say the same for Tom Kuhnhackl as well. He didn't really see very much playing time throughout the season. He did wind up playing most of the playoffs. Had some key goals during the season. He had that crazy behind-the-back Ovechkin-style goal while he's falling down that we could all hearken back to. And then you got Spezza and Dennis Seidenberg, which I'm sure that both of them, who knows, be moving on, or Seidenberg might get another reward for, you know, hosting young Matt Barzal in his premise. Well, we never know. A couple of RFAs as well, Anthony Beauvillier, Josh Hosang, and Michael Dal Cole. Hosang, biggest question mark. For all the ups and downs this kid has had in the organization, what do you do? Do you give him a one-year show-me deal? Do you continue to push him? Do you use him in a trade? He is under team control. I don't know. Beauvillier kind of disappeared for stretches during the playoffs here. He had a couple of clutch goals. Did kind of look solid. I liked the way that he was playing. But again, he was dangled in deals down the trade deadline stretch there. So never know how the organization feels about him. Dal Cole proved himself, stayed up all year, did go down for paperwork real reasons or whatever, and I think during the All-Star break as well. So he might be rewarded as well. Also, all boils down to who's going to stay and who's going to go. You could see some trades. I know Arthur Staple has said numerous times that a guy like Leddy could potentially be moved for forward help, forward depth. The biggest thing that they need is a scoring winger. Artemi Panarin, hello. But there's going to be multiple suitors for him. We really don't know what's going to happen there, especially with all the stuff in New York City going on right now. You have all these kids and Russian kids being signed. A plethora of draft picks. Adam Fox signing there. He was a Carolina prospect, was traded last week, only wanted to sign with the Rangers. So some good things happening there for the Rangers. Going to be tough. You also have all the movement down in Florida with the Panthers. Joel Quenneville was signed as the head coach. There was speculation that Bobrovsky and Panarin could potentially wind up down there in South Florida. Obviously remains to be seen. Who knows? They're definitely going to be active down there. The Islanders are going to have a ton of cap space, almost $32 million for next year. So obviously they have contracts to offer to a couple of players here. But again, we're going to see soon enough as these players begin to either be signed or reach July 1st. You never know. I definitely don't want to lose another captain for the second year in a row to free agency. That would just be detrimental. So all that stuff besides, we have the sweep to talk about. We have some non-goals during the different series. Posts, bounces, the whole Brooklyn Coliseum dynamic. I don't really understand that. 10 days off, could it have helped? Could it have hurt? Remains to be seen. We will discuss that as well. The Carolina buzzsaw, and like I previously mentioned, no trades at the deadline. So as we move into some analysis here on the second round, I'll start first by saying I was at the Barclays for the 2016 playoffs. Obviously, the overtime win to push us into the second round for the first time in God knows how long, 20 years, right? Was amazing. It was loud. It was boisterous. It was fun. That was when the Barclays loved the Islanders. Right now, there's no love there. There's no love from fans to the Barclays. There's no love from the team to the Barclays. There's no love from the Barclays to the fans. There's no love from the Barclays to the Islanders. There's just no love in any direction. So to go from the Coliseum half the season and then to go for the first round and to hear how loud it was and to see how excited fans were, I loved it. I was excited. We were tailgating again. We were back at the barn, back at Fort Neverlose. It legitimately was Fort Neverlose again. So to go from that and then to go into the second round with this excitement of sweeping the Pittsburgh Penguins in the first round, to go in there, to be excited, and for it to not be loud, not blaming the fans. The fans were loud. The building is just weird. It's weird. The roof is like a billion feet high. It's so high you could probably make clouds inside the building if the conditions were right. I'm surprised that with the air conditioning and the ice and everything else that there aren't clouds in there and many thunderstorms happening, because that's just what happens. The term for that in air conditioning, as you all know, I'm an HVAC guy. The term for that would be called stratification. It is a legitimate thing. It happens in big buildings all the time. Granted, it's not really as exciting as it seems. It'll just make fog. If you've ever been to an ice hockey rink somewhere and it's like an indoor-outdoor rink, sort of, or even a fully indoor rink, and the humidity is just right, there'll be fog in the building. It's just one of those things. For the goals to be called back, the Matt Barzal goal, Lee gets an interference penalty, it sucked the life right out of the building. There was a couple of goals that were called back, and it just sucked whatever life Islander fans managed to get right out of the building. And they were never able to get back into the game. If that goal would have stood in game one, and I know, coulda, shoulda, woulda, Mike, right? Coulda, shoulda, woulda. I do not like to live my life by coulda, shoulda, woulda. But in this case, Matt Barzal should have gotten a goal in that instance. It is what it is at this point. We obviously know that it was a weak goal in overtime for Carolina to take a 1-0 win. Robin Leonard played out of his mind. Just the one little stupid pass, and then you have Stahl in the correct spot. Boom, beats Leonard. What are you going to do, right? Should have been 1-0. It wasn't. Game two, same type of things. Back and forth. I don't remember specifically what it was. Exactly. I think, Eberle. Eberle hits the crossbar. You have that inexplicable whistle. Carey Fraser even asked or mentioned about it on Twitter. Why the heck was that a whistle? There should have been a review, all this other stuff. I can't even talk. You can't explain why. That's basically what I was trying to say. The puck is loose. Lee wound up missing the net anyway. But again, coulda, shoulda, woulda. The puck was live. McElhaney at that point was McElhaney at that point because Mrazek left injured, I believe, halfway through the game. So he's swimming around on his back. Just unbelievable. 4 or 5 bounces. Come on. 5 goals called back or reviewed over 2 rounds for the New York Islanders. How does that happen? 5 times. 5. Then there was another one where it looked like it went in, but Pulak kind of shot the puck wide and it got stuck on the outside of the net from my vantage point from where I was. And I posted a picture about my sight line at the Barclays for the second game. My buddy was to my left, Travis, if you're listening. Thanks again for all the hard work for getting those tickets. Happy birthday to my godson, Ralphie, too, by the way. It was fun to see you guys yesterday. If he was not leaning over my shoulder, essentially, I posted a picture from his viewpoint. He could not see the net. There's a wall to his left. Anyway, so from our vantage point, it looked like it went in. We cheered. Oh, no goal. So again, life got sucked right out of the building. Not really a fault of the Islanders or the Barclays. I mean, yeah, it's always going to be the fault of the Barclays, but not really the fault of the Islanders there. So just what do? Just you have home ice advantage. Look at Carolina. Carolina had 19,000 raucous fans. It was so loud you couldn't hear the announcers on television. That is the same way that it was at the Coliseum. You could not hear when I watched a replay on MSG. You could not hear the announcers. You couldn't hear the announcers in the building. You couldn't hear them on TV. That's the same atmosphere that Carolina had. And good for them. They have had terrible hockey for almost as long as the Islanders had prior to this season. Or at least the Islanders had mediocre hockey. We made the playoffs a couple of times, but never made it out of the first round aside from 2016. So I'm not going to fault them. Look, Carolina played better. They won. They were fresh. Well, maybe not fresh, but they definitely were the tougher team. And look, Rod Brind'Amour coached very well. We obviously didn't have an answer for a lot of what they did. So again, kudos. Hopefully you guys don't get swept with the curse in the third round there, but you are a bunch of jerks. Jeez, so many different things to talk about. Could the 10 days off have factored into that? I mean, the intensity, like I mentioned previous here in the beginning of the episode, the intensity, hard to match. If you've played hockey, you know that practice is hard to match the intensity of game day. They've said this. I mean, I've been a hockey fan my entire life. They've said this from day one of me being a fan. It's really hard for you to practice game scenarios when it's not a game. The speed is different. The timing between plays and passes and everything is different. You have to make split-second decisions in nanoseconds during game time. You have a little extra time in practice because it's not going to be as hard. And that's why hockey is such a crazy sport. It is the fastest game on earth for a reason. It really is. You need to be quick with your decisions. And if you're at practice with that intensity, plus on top of the fact that you're not going to get hit to the point where you can get hurt in practice, they're not ever going to do that. Yes, they make contact, but the intensity is just not there, like I keep saying. Could things have been different if Lou Lamoriello made a move down the stretch of the deadline? They obviously were in it for Stone. They knocked on the door for Duchesne, which they could revisit again there in July, which would right a strange wrong. Not that it was a wrong because they drafted Tavares, which was the right move at the time. But Duchesne was right there for the taking as well. And, you know, look, he could still wind up on the Islanders at some point. I don't know. You potentially give up picks. They're going to be important here. They could be included in a package. We still own all our own picks this season. We have a bunch of prospects that we held on to that could potentially be moved as well. just going to be one of those things. Going to have to wait and see, like I keep saying. So it's definitely going to be an interesting offseason. It 100% will be. We have all that cap space. We have Lou Lamoriello. We have the draw of Barry Trotz. We have Matt Barzell. A couple of kids down in Bridgeport could push for spots next season. I'm excited about it. If the Islanders were this good with one season and not any trades or really roster things, aside from Leo Komarov, Kunockel, Filppula, the trade from Matt Martin, I'm excited to see what's going to happen here in year two under Trotz and Lou Lamoriello. I really am. Going to be really, really, really fun. It was fun this season. Again, it didn't have the ending that we wanted. But look, it's really, really good year for the New York Islanders and fans. We have all the different meetup groups, and I can't even really at this point begin to tell you how many groups have popped up. But Isles Meetup Charlotte, Isles Meetup Tampa, Isles Meetup Raleigh, Isles Meetup Jersey, Isles Meetup, I think, Denver. We have South Florida, Tampa, I think I've already said. We have Philly. There was one in France, I think I saw. There's a couple that popped up in Canada. We have California. Just all over the place. It's amazing to see all these transplanted Islanders stick to their fandom and meet up with like-minded people. I think it's amazing. I didn't get to really hang out with anybody this year. Hopefully next year, now that I can plan in advance, I definitely want to make events here and there. I also have plans to go on the road and see some away games. I've never done that before. I've been a fan, like I said, my whole entire life. The only other arenas I've been to, aside from the Coliseum and the Barclays, have been MSG and the Prudential Center. Now, in the past, when I've when I've gone to drafts, you know, I've been to Ottawa, I've been to Montreal, I've been up to Toronto, I went to LA, but I did not get to go see games in those arenas. So while I've been to the arenas, I have not gotten to see games. So that's something else I plan to do. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the future of the podcast here. I'm going to continue to do things here for the next week or so just to catch up. Like I said, I want to maybe fire up Discord to get a bunch of you guys involved, have some roundtable in that respect. I also will obviously chime in from time to time with short little episodes as news trickles through. We will probably take a small hiatus when, you know, there's quiet time, from here and there, and obviously up until the draft and then free agency. We may or may not, like I said, have some guests from time to time just to fill things and talk about some fun little tidbits, Isles history, and try to get some other guests and, have some fun. Also, two episodes ago, had mentioned that someone had reached out to me about donations, and I thought long and hard about this, and I have not had any advertisers. I've had some people reach out about sponsorships and stuff, and we will revisit that. I really don't want to make this too commercial. It's kind of just fun, but at the same time, it does cost me quite a bit of money to keep up with the hosting and everything else. And I do plan on moving the website to a different host, one that's a little faster. I love Blueberry. I'm actually staying with Blueberry, which hosts the actual audio podcast part of it. But I'm talking about the web host part. It's kind of slow sometimes, and I'm going to be moving the website. So if you want to donate, there is a donate button on the website. I will actually add it to the main page as well. But if you click About Us, I believe, there is a donate link. It's through PayPal. You could either set up a recurring donation if you want. You could throw me $5, $10, whatever you feel you want. You don't even necessarily have to, but it'll help me in certain areas there. I've had a couple of donations already. So Tristan and Jeff, thank you so much for your generous donations. I know you guys have been longtime listeners and have reached out to me in the past for things, and I cannot even begin to show you the gratitude and appreciation from what you guys had done. I can't thank you enough. Also, geez, so many different things. I plan on improving certain aspects of the podcast. I've learned a lot as I've gone along here. I had no idea about audio or anything else. I've bought bits and pieces of equipment here and plugins for everything. And I'm going to continue to learn. I literally read every single day. I'm on the subreddit on Reddit, obviously, for podcasting. And I read different things on audio and stuff like that. I'm definitely not an audio engineer, which I've joked before. But I do like to have the podcast sound as best as possible. And that's why the last episode kind of annoyed me so much. I'd purchased a second mic just to try to get things while I'm not home out there. It was a quick little one. It took me a lot to get it to sound to the point where I was okay with it. But once it was up and I listened to it in the car and on my phone, I don't think I'm ever going to do that again. It's not what I want. I would rather just wait to put out what I know I can do here at home in the quote-unquote studio, which is my unfinished basement with lots of noise. But I do try to keep the noise to a minimum, and that's why I've purchased what I have. So I will keep you guys updated in that regard as well. If anybody has any suggestions or tips, I'm always open to it. There is a link to the email on the Facebook page and Twitter and everywhere else. You already obviously know how to get a hold of me. So at this point of the podcast, I should probably be quiet because we're at about a half an hour, and I think I've rambled on for enough here. I love you guys. I really do. Thank you so much for everybody that I have met this season in person at the tailgates and during games. Too many names to list. So many people have reached out to me to tell me that, you know, they love the podcast. They love what I do. A few people in person. I don't even know how you recognize me. It's not like I post pictures all that often, but you are out there, and I'm blown away by all the support. Thank you so much. So as we move forward here, you will hear from us here at the Isles Faithful again. We will keep everybody updated and abreast to all the breaking news. So check us out on Twitter, Faithful Isles. You can check out my other name, which I have been considering changing. I don't know if I should or I shouldn't, but it's at Isles Blogger. For my personal stuff, not really personal, it's all hockey related. We also are everywhere that you consume podcasts. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're on Google Podcasts. We're on Stitcher, Spotify, Podbean, all the popular ones. There is actually a way that you can look at it on Pod News. There, I have a page there. It was auto-generated, but it shows like 30 different areas that you could actually listen to the podcast. It's kind of funny, including Luminary, which has been in the news lately. I obviously don't have any advertising or anything, so it doesn't really matter. Just another avenue for you to listen. So check that out. We're also on Facebook. We are on YouTube. We have an Instagram. So links to all those are on the homepage. You could obviously also stream every episode right there on the homepage. Check out the backlog of episodes, or the back catalog, I believe would be the right term. We've had Mark Parrish on numerous times this year. We have had a bunch of different beat writers on. We had Brett Sergalis from The Post, Arthur Staple from The Athletic. We had Joe Yearden, who covers Buffalo. Him and I go way back to our blogging days. He covers Buffalo for The Athletic. We had Down Goes Brown on, also known as Sean McIndoe, or Do. That was really, really good. He answered the bell. So I will continue to have all those guys on. Again, thank you for the support. I have rambled on for another 2 minutes, even though I really didn't want to. I love you guys. I love the New York Islanders. I love the NHL. Thank you for listening. It's been a wild ride this year. I would be remiss if I said I didn't enjoy every second of it as much as it's sometimes it's hard work. And I say that I'm going to do things and then I wind up falling asleep on the couch, as Roger from WBAB could attest as well. Someone we can't forget. Roger is amazing. So with that, we close out the playoff edition here. Unfortunately, we'll sweep up the dust as we got swept. First time since the Buffalo Sabres were swept after sweeping. Hopefully it happens to somebody else next year. Maybe it happens to the Carolina Hurricanes in the third round. You never know. So again, this has been episode 35 of the Isles Faithful Podcast. Thank you all for following along this season. It has been fun. I cannot wait to talk to you again soon, hopefully in a week or two, maybe even sooner. I would love to say let's go Islanders, but there's nothing to say let's go Islanders about. So thanks for listening. Episode 35, the Isles Faithful Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Michael Schroline. We'll speak to you soon.